tonight, the sermon this morning is going to be on after the resurrection, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can follow with me in your Bible. We'll start in Matthew 28, and we're going to go through each of the Gospels about some of the things that were said and done after the resurrection and prior to the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 28th chapter of Matthew, starting in verse 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go with my brethren, that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Then in verse 16, as it recounts what happened in Galilee, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped, some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations. And the margin there will give an alternate translation of, Make disciples, or Christians, of all nations. Teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that is the last part of the Gospel of Matthew as far as the recounting by Matthew. Now turn to the 16th chapter of Mark. And verse 1 through verse 11 tells an almost identical story as we read in the first part of Matthew. Then starting in verse 12, he tells of another incident in the after the resurrection. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told the residue, neither believed they them. And we'll read that in more detail in the Gospel of Luke, because this is the two men that Christ walked with and talked with. Verse 14, Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and I should stop to comment on that, because the word new there in the Greek is a word that means new or new in freshness, renew. It does not mean strange tongues or unknown tongues, just in case some Pentecostal people are listening and think that that has something to do with strange tongues. No, new, fresh, or anointed tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And, of course, here he was giving the signs that would follow. And for those who might think these are literal serpents, I would remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ called the Jewish Pharisees ye serpents in the same Greek word which is translated serpents here. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, and that's in Matthew 23 and verse 33. So when he says they shall take up serpents, he doesn't necessarily mean that you'll take up some sort of a literal snake. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God and went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, you may wonder why I read this practically word for word, and I'm going to read some more in the next two Gospels also, Before we go to Luke and John, I want you to know that there is not one single solitary word of admonition or teaching that they should have any sort of a festival or a holy day or some great celebration about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had literally one admonition for them. It's all contained in three parts, perhaps. Believe, preach, and I'll protect you. Believe, preach, and I'll protect you, or I'll be with you. And he didn't have anything about them going and celebrating. As we see, and I think I'll comment on this before we go to Luke and John, some of you may have seen the Saturday paper, which usually has anywhere from 2 to 3 pages about the church news, the local church news. And if you'll notice, the headline on this one page says, Easter Sunrise Services Highlight Church Schedule. Now, I'm not going into the details regarding this. I did do this on the radio broadcast, which most of you have either heard or you will hear on this tape, to show you that the worship of Baal and Molech included going out on a morning to celebrate the resurrection of Tammuz at sunrise, in which they worshiped the sun. This is the Babylonian worship of Baal and Ashtaroth, from which we get our name Easter. In fact, some of the writings of some of the fathers as far back as 200 and 300 years after the death of Christ tell us that the origin of the Easter festival with the rabbits and the eggs and all of these rest of the things came from the Babylonian goddess Ashtaroth. And God Almighty condemned Israel in the heartiest terms for celebrating anything to do with the sunrise and the sun, the god Ashtaroth, from which we get our word Easter. And as I say, I read literally word for word in this last part of these two Gospels. We're going to read some more. But you'll notice from this newspaper that I'll read just a few things here. Since it starts out, Christ will hold a combined Easter sunrise service at 6:30 a.m. in the shadow of Superstition Mountain, and that gives the name. Valley residents and visitors are invited to the Easter sunrise service tomorrow at the Sun City Bowl, and they have thousands of people, many of them who never step inside of a church the rest of the year, but they go out at Easter sunrise and stand facing the sun, just as the ancient Babylonians did in their worship of Baal and Ashtaroth. It says the Sun City Male Chorus, under the direction of so on, will sing. Taking part in the program will be, and then are listed below that, about 15 to 20 churches. And every one of these churches goes out and participates in this sunrise service. He Lives will be the theme of the 6:30 a.m. Easter sunrise service tomorrow at the Bethel Lutheran Church. And there's music. Another place has a 7-foot cross, which will be made of lilies in the center of chancel for their Easter service, accompanied by brass, timpani, handbells, organ. And as you read this, you recognize that many of these are a service in which is followed a breakfast, and they serve pancakes and all sorts of other things. In other words, it is a feast day. It is a feast day. And yet in the recounting by Matthew and Mark, these men were apprised of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by the proof of his visible presence. And in fact, as we see in some of them, he actually had doubting Thomas touch his body and the wounds to prove that this was that Jesus was slain and put in the grave. But not a word is uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ about them doing anything about celebrating that resurrection. All right, now turn over to Luke 24. And again, verses 1 through 12, which I won't take time to read, is the story of the women at the tomb, and then showing that it was empty and the angel. It's almost identical to Matthew. Verse 13 starts the story in detail of the two men on the road, and we're going to read just a little bit of that. It goes all the way down through about verse 31, but in verse 13 it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And according to the biblical measurements, a furlong is about 1/8 mile. So it's 7.5 miles that they walked, and Jesus apparently was with them most of the time. So Jesus could have been with them for anywhere from an hour to upwards of 2 hours. But let's read at least what the important part of this communication was, important enough to put in God's Word for us to read in this end of the age. He asked them why they were so sad, and they told him about Jesus having been put on the cross, and then they said in verse 21, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." Now remember, they do not recognize Jesus as Jesus at that moment. And they're just telling this stranger, "We thought this was the one who was going to redeem Israel, now he's dead." And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." Now, it's obvious from the way they told this to this stranger, who was Jesus, and they didn't know him, they didn't believe it. They actually had a first-hand account from their fellow disciples that the tomb was empty, and they didn't believe it. What was Christ's admonition? "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." What did Jesus want them to do? Believe the word of God as given by the prophets. In other words, you men should have known that I was not in the grave because the prophets had spoken of it. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he waited as though he would have gone further, and then it shows that he stayed with them and taught them some more. So he must have been with them for a couple hours. And yet, in all of this conversation which they had, we find only two things. He admonished them for not believing the prophets, and then he taught them from the scriptures, from Moses and all the prophets. He expounded to them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then, starting in verse 36, he shows himself to the rest of the disciples and some other people. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Jesus demonstrated with his physical, resurrected body that he was there, alive, right before them. "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and of an honeycomb, and he took it, and did eat before them," demonstrating again that he was alive, physically, in their presence, after the resurrection. No shadow of doubt could linger in their minds that Jesus had risen from the dead. "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Did they have any sort of a celebration or a festival or any instruction? No, nothing but a teaching of the word of God after his demonstration to them that he was alive. "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Again, the only instruction we find in here is that I am alive, you believe, you're my witnesses, now you go preach my word. "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." In other words, these men immediately because of the proof and the teaching of the Word, believed and obeyed, and went and began what we know, of course, as the church age. Turn to John 20, and there's a much more detail here because there's actually a total of about two chapters in John. And I would suggest that you read these entirely yourself. I won't take the time because it would just be too long to read here from the pulpit. But the 20th chapter of John is literally a repeat, but in more detail, of the actual incident at the tomb with the women and the empty tomb and the angel and them going to tell the disciples and so on. And it's given in much more detail. And it leads up to verse 30 and 31, after Jesus showed himself to the disciples, and then he had Thomas thrust his finger in his side, again physically demonstrating that he was the resurrected Lord. Verse 30 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, all that's been done so far in chapter 20 is a recounting of the historical proof that Jesus proved he was resurrected. Then chapter 21, we have him showing himself to the disciples on three separate occasions, including the miracle of the fishes. And then in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And of course, I believe that this is one of the most tremendous lessons that the disciples and the apostles got from the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. Three times. If you love me, feed my sheep. Preach my word to the house of Israel. Don't have great festivals. Don't do things with the world. Don't take on the trappings of the world. In fact, don't go back and get all of these old Babylonian worship services and institute them in the church. Do one thing. Feed my sheep. And, of course, that's the same instruction that was given in the last of Matthew and Mark when he told them to go to all nations and preach the word and make Christians of all of the people. Well, brother, sister, the only way you're going to make Christians of anyone is to preach the Word of God to them. Verse 18 is literally a prophecy, I believe, of the way that Peter would die. And, of course, Peter did die, was actually killed by the Antichrist at a later date, which was a prophecy of that. Verse 19, he says, This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God, and this refers to Peter. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And this, of course, would be John, who asked that question at the Last Supper. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, many people have used this to indicate that Jesus was implying that John would live forever until Jesus came the second time, but he's not saying that. He, in effect, is saying to Peter, You don't worry about what I'm going to do with John or the rest of these people. You follow me. And he said that twice. Three times he said, Feed my sheep, and twice he said, Follow me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die, Yet Jesus said not unto them, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, identifying John as that person, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So two of the writers of the Gospels tell us that there are many, many things which Jesus did and said and preached and taught after the resurrection, but they're not in the Bible. And the only things that are in the Bible are these admonitions: follow me, feed my sheep, believe I have been resurrected, and go out and preach that gospel and that doctrine of mine to all of the world. Not a word about any ritual. And I should imagine, if the Lord Jesus Christ, if God Almighty, had wanted to establish some sort of a ritual or worship service on some day that would commemorate his resurrection, that is the time when he would have given it. Some one or more of these gospels should have said something about some special worship service. And there's not a thing in there about a worship service at all. All he tells them, preach the word, go to the nations, tell them I am resurrected, follow me, feed my sheep. All right, turn to the, you're right there in the first chapter of Acts, because the first part of the first chapter of Acts, again, is the fifth recounting of some of the things that were done after the resurrection. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And, of course, the writer of the book of Acts is referring to the same things told in the Gospels, that Christ showed himself by physical, literal proof in their very presence that he was the resurrected Jesus whom they had known. Having been seen of them 40 days, he gives the time, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Again, apparently, everything that Jesus taught was pertaining to the kingdom of God in the 40 days after the resurrection and prior to the ascension. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, now this is the answer of the simple question about the kingdom. This is Jesus' answer. This is the message they were given as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ of what they were supposed to do. Apparently, summing up everything else that he had told them in the 40 days. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What was the job of the disciples and the witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ? To go out and witness of him according to the instructions which we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go out and teach them my words. Matthew said, teach them all things that I command you, all those that I have spoken. Well, this is the spoken word of God, 1,000 and some pages, in my Bible, and that is what we are supposed to do. Preach the word. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. In other words, then when this was over, then when the ascension had taken place and Jesus was gone to sit at the right hand of the Father, then they, according to the rest of the first and second chapter of Acts, they went back and obeyed the Lord to go to Jerusalem. They received the Holy Spirit and began doing what? Preaching the Word of God, or in obedience of what God had told them. Now let's turn back to Matthew 27 again, and just read the two verses, 19 and 20, verses 18, 19, and 20, because this sums up to me the very thing that was supposed to happen in this age after the resurrection and the ascension. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He makes it very plain that he is the one who rules over the heavens and the earth now after the resurrection. Verse 19, go ye therefore, in other words, because of this, you go and teach all nations, make disciples or Christians of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now remember, as I read this newspaper article, and this is a great shame and a tragedy, actually, in Christian America or any other place, many ministers apparently use some sort of orchestras, sing, choirs, and all of these things in an attempt to get people into church who ordinarily never come. There are large ads in this newspaper advertising these Easter sunrise services. I know there's a promotion up in Sun City, and I don't know, perhaps the whole city turns out to go this one time to a service, and if any of you have ever attended Easter sunrise services, you know as well as I do that you receive no instruction or preaching from the Word of God. They will talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, they will talk about his resurrection, which is all well and good, but the implication is that all we're supposed to do and understand of that day is that he is resurrected. Well, brother, sister, we believe that. Let's go on from there. Let's go preach the word to all nations, make disciples and Christians of all of them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What is the very simple message that Jesus Christ gave after his resurrection and prior to his ascension? It can be summed up by these words. I am alive. I will protect you. You believe. You go. You preach my word. That's the job Israel was given in the power of the shed blood and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to go out and have religious festivals. Not to go out and follow the teachings of Baal and Ashtaroth. Not to roll eggs down the White House lawn on Easter morning. Not to hide them around the house and do the same thing that people do at Christmas, to let young children think they get things from some rabbit or from Santa Claus. No, brother, sister, everything that we get, everything that we have, and everything that we hope to have comes from the resurrected and ruling Lord Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to do one thing, believe and preach the Word of God. And may God help us to do it.